This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Halloween episode today. Welcome, Natalie. How are you feeling about the scary episode that we're going to have today?
Thrilled.
It's not really scary because I asked everybody to dress up and I'm the only person that has come in wearing any kind of Halloween attire. I'm wearing devil's horns.
That's it, though. It's not like you've really made
an effort. Nat, what are you wearing? A dress. Yeah. That's not very scary, is it? Special treat
little
for me.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I take it all back. I will forgive you for that. Kicking off the show there was Lady Gaga with Hey Girl featuring Florence Welch. That was my best radio voice ever.
I like it. Continue.
Lady Gaga, Hey Girl, featuring Florence Welch. I really like that. Comes from her brand new album. It's probably my favourite song on the album.
Good.
Good for me. It's good. Is that how you feel about Lady Gaga?
Yeah, that's just my thoughts.
Okay.
Maybe if you'll know how I feel about people if I just play that out randomly. No, I like Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. I actually did write Lady Gag on the script, but managed to edit it in time before you saw it.
I would have lolled.
You would have lolled. So today on the show, we have loads of fabulous guests. Mike Righteous, we had a chat with him this week about his brand new album, Dreamland, which is coming out tomorrow or midnight tonight, depending on how you look at it. Taylor came in for a little chat with us as well. We're going to be playing that out in a little bit. Plus, Colette Cooper is coming into the studio to talk about her brand new single. And Kerosene are going to be here talk about their brand new single, which is out now.
Yes.
All very exciting. Plus, we've got an extra special music news and reviews. We're going to be covering loads of exciting stuff, plus Vivo Halloween. We're going to be talking about Pussy Riot's new song, which we're going to be playing as well. It's called Vagina.
It's called Straight Out of Vagina.
Yeah. and Great British Bake Off final last night. Going to talk about that. We're going to talk about The Weeknd. We're going to talk about Drake. And we're going to talk about Jay-Z. But before we do all of that, we're going to listen to Drake. This is Sneakin', one of his brand new tracks that he's just dropped, featuring 21 Savage.
This is all God's doing, man, you can't plan it. But if the devil's in the details, then I'm satanic. About to take over your city and you can't stand it. My account say you sinking like the Titanic. David Blaine last summer, man, you had to vanish. I get the hits like somebody pitching underhanded. Got my Spanish team convinced that I know Spanish. Really, when she get to talking, I don't understand it. You ain't on it right away, you had to wait on niggas. Man, I'm only 29, had some patience with us. Plus, I never met nobody from my label, nigga. I just pop up with the music, then they pay a nigga, yeah. Shit ain't been the same like before. I still love it, but I used to love it more. FaceTime with my shorty on tour. And she texting purple hearts, cause she know that we at war, yeah. Niggas keep reaching and dissing. Can't afford mistakes and I don't listen. Let me call my bros for assistance. You gon' make me call my bros for assistance. Niggas keep reaching and dissing. Put me in a fault of position. You gon' make me call my bros for assistance. Make me call my bro.
Baby, I'm a savage, I ain't romantic. When I come around, these rapper niggas start to panic. And they pockets going under like the Titanic. Got some head last night and it was outstanding. They was hating on me then and they hating now. She was playing with me then, but she waiting now. Used to sleep inside a den, I got acres now. I was fighting niggas then, but I'm spraying now. Blasting. I don't pay no mind to no sneak this. Nope. I won't spend a dime on a freak, bitch. Bro. Niggas taking cheap shots on some cheap shit. They the type to stand in line for some free shit. Bro, bitch. Baby girl gon' suck it to a jaws lock. Suck it up. She gon' make me put my bitch on car block. Fucking up. We the ones popping, we the ones shopping. We the ones dropping niggas, we the ones. We the ones. They the ones ducking when them heaters come. 21, 21. You that nigga snitching on your people, huh? Shh. 21 Savage, aka the Reaper, huh? 21. Pussy niggas getting shot for all that reaching, huh?
Yeah. Niggas keep reaching and dissing. Can't afford mistakes, not on missing. Let me call my bros for assistance. You gon' make me call my bros for assistance. Niggas keep reaching and dissing. Hold up. Put me in a fault of position. Let me call my bros for assistance. Let me call my bro.
No.
I don't need love, I'm the GOAT. I just hit the beat and float. And I'm selling out arenas, but you putting on a show. I've been trying to change life around for everyone I know. Cause if I don't share the wealth, then how the fuck we supposed to grow? Mom stressed, there's a lot of things we need. Chain smoking in the house, it's hard to breathe. I used to had to hit my T's with Febreze. Jordan pull up in the TL, now I'm cheese. I'ma turn this TSX into a Benz soon. I'ma see a lot of blessings from my friends soon. 150 inch screen in my bedroom. 6'1", man, a nigga need some leg room. Shit ain't been the same like before. They don't even wanna look up at the score.
FaceTime with my shorty on tour. And she texting purple hearts cause she know that we at war, yeah. Niggas keep reaching and dissing. Can't afford mistakes, not on this end. Make me call my bros for assistance. You gon' make me call my bros for assistance. Niggas keep reaching and dissing. Put me in a fault of position. Make me call my bros for assistance. Make me call my bro.
FUBAR Radio presents
Hey Mr. Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Wrestle Kicks.
Hi, my girl has a nice round ass.
Cool, safe.
Sometimes I want to get my kebab, dip it in her bum crack before having my dinner.
Make sure it's a kofta.
Maybe it's one of the kebab on the skewers. Not even.
Nah, don't use skewers. Because sometimes they
need the skewers.
Why?
I swear, as the more this show goes on, the more ridiculous
the weirder
these,
the problems
like,
get.
Like, we used to get, like, fairly normal ones. Check this out. Hi, my boyfriend gets a cucumber and hits me with it and takes off his clothes at the same time when he wants to have sex. Kind of turns me on, but still weird. Should I just let him do it?
No.
But when is that ever happened?
Every Wednesday.
Payne and Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
From 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Call it love and devotion. Call it a mom's adoration.
Foundation.
A special bond of creation. Ha! For all the single moms out there going through frustration. Clean-minded, child of all, and Marie thing made them air.
She works at night by the water. She's gone astray, so far away from her father's daughter. She just wants her life for a baby. All on her own, no one will come. She's got to save him.
Daily struggle.
She tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love. I'm gonna give you all of my love. Nobody matters like you.
Stay up there.
She
stay
tells
up
him,
there.
Your life ain't gonna be nothing like my life.
Jay.
You're gonna.
Come, you well prepare. And no, mama, you never said tear. Cause you have said things year after year. And you give the youth love beyond compare. You find the school fee and the bus fare. Mmm, already the pops disappear. In a wrong bar, can't find him nowhere. Steadily your workflow, everything you know. So you're not stop, no time, no time for your dare.
Now she got a 6-year-old, trying to keep him warm, trying to keep all the gold. When he looks in her eyes, he don't know he is safe when she says. When he looks in her eyes, he don't know he is safe when she says. She tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love. I'm gonna give you all of my love. Nobody matters like you.
Stay up there.
She
stay
tells
up there.
Him your life ain't gonna be nothing like my life.
Jay.
You're gonna grow and have a good life. I'm gonna do what I got to do.
Rock-a-bye,
rock-a-rock-a-rock-a-bye.
Rock-a-bye, rock-a-rock-a-rock-a-bye.
Got you, rock-a-bye, baby. Rock-a-bye.
is the brand new single from Clean Bandit. Mm-hmm. Straight out after Neil Milan just left the group, the violinist. It features Anne-Marie and Sean Paul, Rockabye, Clean Bandit. Tweet us and let us know if you think that's good or not. Do you like it now that Neil's gone? Do you prefer Clean Bandit now Neil's gone? Do you care that Neil's gone?
It's a cleaner bandit now he's gone, I think.
It is. It is indeed. Now it's time for a big section of music news and reviews. I'm very excited for all the things we're going to be talking about today. We're going to kick it off with talking about Vivo Halloween. I will be going down to Liverpool this weekend with Abby, who's currently in the AP hot seat in the studio.
It's a very hot seat when
hot,
Abby's in it.
Physical Whoa. Hot seat.
Yeah.
We're going to be heading down to Liverpool this Saturday for Vivo Halloween. It's set to be an incredible night. We're going to be on the red carpet talking to Zara Larsson, Blossoms, Jack Garrett, Aurora, Izzy Bazoo, and more. We're going to be bringing you live, exciting things on Snapchat, so you can follow us at FUBAR Radio. Plus, we'll be posting stuff on Twitter and on Instagram, and we'll have really exciting interviews to be played out next
wow.
week on the show.
Big show then, next week.
Yeah, Zara Larsson, man. She's yeah. massive now.
Oh, I've got Jack Garrett's album on my desk.
I know
if you
do.
Could go and get him to sign it for me. Would that be okay?
Maybe I should. That's what Harley and Michael bought
yeah,
you for your birthday,
yeah.
didn't they?
Yeah.
Very nice. The theme of this year's Vivo Halloween is phobias. So please can you tweet over the next hour your phobias, your biggest phobias, hashtag FUBAR phobias. My biggest phobia is spiders. Nats is pancakes.
Velvet.
Pancakes.
Velvet pancakes.
Velvet pancakes. Nats is velvet pancakes. Mine are spiders. Tweet us hashtag FUBAR phobias. FUBAR phobias, by the way, is spelt with a PH, not with an F, just to make you aware in case you were going to do a spell
I wrong. Do hate velvet, though. Like, I really hate it.
Okay, so tweet us things that are normal phobias, unlike Nat's irrational fear of velvet. You are never going to be able to come to my house either because I've just bought a velvet sofa.
Are you
so
serious?
Tweet us at FUBAR Radio, at Vivo_UK, hashtag FUBAR phobias. Let us know what phobias you are going to be thinking about this Halloween. And we will I will try and talk about it when I'm at Vivo to some of the stars. Mm-hmm. I will, if you send us some good ones, I will bring them up and talk to the stars that we're going to be speaking to, including Zara Larsson, Jack Garrett, Aurora, Blossoms, Izzy Bazoo, about your phobias. So tweet us in, hashtag FUBAR phobias, at FUBAR Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be retweeting them and talking about them in the next hour, so make sure you let us know. Plus, we'll be giving you all the info. Stay tuned on Saturday, because we'll be there, Halloween.
Mm.
I am currently wearing devil horns in honour of Halloween. Nobody else is dressed up. It is just me. So that's that, really.
I am dressed up. This is my Halloween outfit.
You're dressed as Natalie King for Halloween.
I'm dressed as me, yeah.
You are pretty scary, to be fair, so I would agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
On a completely separate note, Pussy Riot have released a song, Straight Out of Vagina. It's a complete banger to start off with, but aside from that, is a very incredible political message alongside it. It's come at perfect timing, just after Trump's absolute hideous clip we heard from the bus, grab the pussy tape, we could call it.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, Nadia I don't want to pronounce this wrong because I always pronounce names wrong,
mm-hmm.
but Tolokonikova.
Yeah,
Tolokonikova.
That's right.
Nadia Tolokonikova, the co-founder of Pussy Riot, actually wrote and recorded this in February, way before the news came out of Trump saying that. So they just knew already that he's a twat.
Mm.
And basically the song's about reminding people that you came, whoever you are, you came from a vagina. You literally came from you could also say that you came from a stomach,
yeah.
But actually, you didn't, because you came from something going into a vagina.
That's true.
I'm not going to go into the birds and bees right now.
No,
but
what do you mean? I'm confused.
But in the middle of our music news and reviews, I think we should play it.
Okay, yeah, no, I think so too.
And then we'll come back and do a bit more talking. Is
All
that
right. We'll get into a bit of Pussy Riot?
Yeah.
Don't play dumb, vagina's where you're really from. Where you from? your shopping cart. Vaginas in the art museum, and people buying tickets just to see them. Put your pussy on a diet, then paparazzi gonna start a riot.
Absolute tune. Tweet us if you like that song. Also, go and check out the video because it's incredible, as are Pussy Riot. So big up to them, and fuck Donald Trump. And they said about it, and the owner of Vagina is not some narcissistic, stupid orange ape who'd claim that he could easily grab women by their pussies. Amen, sister. Mm. So thank you to Pussy Riot for that tune. Just to interrupt, don't forget to send us your Desert Island Dicks. Very important. Mm-hmm. We need to receive those
Desert
today.
Desert Island Dicks.
Perhaps you can do Halloween-themed Desert Island Dicks if you fancy. So things that are Halloween-themed. Also, today's last request is a Halloween song. So don't fuck with me and send things that aren't Halloween-based, because it's Halloween. So Halloween-based songs for this week's last request.
Like Thriller. Please, Thriller would be a good for me. That's a good
too
choice.
Obvious, Nat.
Well, what?
I want abstract bangers.
So picky.
I know. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio, hashtag last request. Banger, not ballad. Ballad, no.
No, ballad,
banger,
no.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Halloween themed, yes.
Say, what ballad is? What is ballad?
Banger.
Ballad is.
Ballad is screamy Halloween hell.
No, thank you.
Back to the point. Let me just. That's me shuffling my papers there. Jay-Z is going to be holding a concert in the swing state of Ohio in America to encourage young black voters to get to the polling booths, according to a statement. Also pressing the need to vote for Hillary Clinton. Basically, what he's trying to do is get people in Ohio that aren't racist to vote for Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Because he's worried that people are just going to not bother.
Just not turn up to vote at all. Right, okay. Yeah.
Because although some people might not like Hillary Clinton, which I can totally understand. Mm. She's a fucking hell of a lot better than Donald Trump.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, also, you get to see Jay-Z and probably other people.
If that's not a reason to vote. I don't know what it is, yeah.
Drake, who we just played a second ago, has released four brand new singles. But in one of them, he's got into a bit of trouble. Well, a lot of trouble, because he's dissed. Him and Kid Cudi have had a lot of beef in the past anyway, but he's dissed him on the track Two Birds, One Stone. Mm. in regards to his mental health, because Kid Cudi's just checked himself into rehab for depression and suicidal urges, and it's really important to raise awareness of this in men at the moment especially. And you can actually visit mind.org.uk or rethink.org, which are both websites that help mental health. They give you lots of tips and tricks, and also there's people they meet together, there's meetings and lots of helpful counselling things on there. But it's just really important to raise awareness that the most important thing is Kid Cudi's well-being and state of mind, along with anyone else who's struggling with mental health.
I think Drake was obviously, Kid Cudi did have a few digs at Drake on social media first, but then he did say, look, I've checked into rehab.
I think it's just very bad timing. Yeah. I don't think Drake's a bad person. I think it's just horrendously bad timing.
Yeah. But he has released it. I mean, it was quite public knowledge that Kid Cudi has gone into rehab. And now it's just come out with Drake's song. So I can't believe he didn't know that.
No.
Or someone would have told him that, surely, and gone, maybe don't release this track, doing
it. It's very true.
Drake.
Oh, Drake, indeed. But I thought we'd play one of the songs to... because the other songs don't feature anything bad, so, yeah. But I wanted to bring up the point that that happened because I think it's important to raise awareness about it. And as I said, you can visit mind.org.uk and rethink.org, which are both mental health charities that do a lot and give a lot of information about things to do with mental health. So go and check it out. Also, it was the Great British Bake Off final last night. Now, I am going to shock and astound people by saying, but I missed it.
Oh, yeah, so did
you
I.
You don't care.
I was so upset to not see it.
You don't
any
give a shit,
episode
do you?
Ever of it.
Apparently it was like the hugest ratings ever recorded ever for anything.
I tell you what, though, in the pub I was in last night, I swear to God, I thought it was Sue Perkins. So I'm not even joking. I was with Reese and Michael Payne and we were like...
She could have been there.
That is Sue Perkins, isn't it?
She and could have been there because it's pre-recorded.
But what was weird was, I mean, we actually thought it was her for a bit, and then she was with someone that looked like Mel, and we were like, this isn't kind of on that if you're looking like Sue.
Was it Mel and Sue lookalikes?
No, well, I don't know what was going on, but it was just weird. It was like, oh, right. How
tweet us at Foobar Radio, Mel and Sue, if you were in Caledonian Road last night at the pub.
Yeah.
So it was final last night. Basically, I stopped paying interest when Selassie went out because he was my favourite.
Yeah, it was mine too.
But congratulations, the BBC now no longer own the rights, but there'll be two Christmas specials on the BBC, and then it's just Paul Hollywood going to Channel 4 on his own.
Ridiculous name. I've talked about Hollywood before. I'm not having that.
Yeah, he's also a bit of a douche.
Is he? No one likes him, do they? Because he's gone to Channel 4.
Well, also, he's right? just a little bit creepy, maybe.
Is he?
I don't know. I don't know him.
It's
so
not
I
very
can't...
Hollywood, is it?
No.
Creepy.
I mean, it's quite Hollywood,
very
actually.
Very Hollywood, yeah. Okay, great.
Anyway, moving on swiftly. The Weeknd will be following in Kanye West's footsteps very soon and releasing a Starboy pop-up in honour of his brand new album that's dropping on November the 25th, and it's rumoured to be taking place on November the 4th to the 6th, so I can assume you're going to be able to get wall-to-wall Starboy memorabilia. So head down there. Obviously, go to the website to find out more information because they're very elusive about this kind of stuff. They don't give you anything before they absolutely need to. I don't even know if it's coming to the UK, but going from what the tracks that have come out from Starboy so far, I think it's going to be good merchandise.
Yes.
So go check it out.
Yes, we should.
Why are you smiling?
I'm just smiling because I've just looked.
What have
I've just
written?
Looked at the running order, and I feel like it's obviously coded to me in here because after the next song that's listed, it's got I'm feeling sexual, so we should be sexual.
You've ruined my joke now, Nat.
Oh,
that was the joke, and now we're not going to play the song because you ruined
the joke.
Well, I want
to because I just saw it and was like,
the reason
tell
I wrote
me,
that was because
me.
It reminded me of you.
Oh, thanks.
And that is the words of the song. So, without further ado, I'm feeling sexual, so we should get
Let's
sexual.
Let's get sexual.
You got that thing that I've been looking for. Been running around for so long. Now I got you, I won't let you go. You got that thing that I've been looking for. And you got a heart full of gold. And that's really turning me on. You are, you are, you are, you are, you are everything that I dreamed of. Now I can paint a picture. You are, you are, you are, you are. You are making my life much greener. Yeah, yes. Just say you feel the way that I feel. I'm feeling sexual, so we should be sexual. Just say you feel the way that I feel. I'm feeling sexual, so we should be sexual. You got something that I ain't seen before. You've opened a million doors. Adore you. You got something that I ain't seen before.
picture. You are making my life much greener. So I wanna say, yeah.
It's funny how so many of them are not comfortable enough to, like, tell you. They just kind of, like, edge you in that direction. Like, seriously, no, why don't you just tell me?
Put it in my book.
Like, I get it. I don't know if it's the masculine term, as people like to call it.
I think whatever way taking up the ass is one of the most masculine things someone could do.
Right.
Cool.
In my personal
opinion. In your personal opinion. Nice.
Every Wednesday.
The Hannah Whitten Show.
From 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Feeling the sun, party done, shadows walking home. Walking with a game on. You are my kind, classic mind, and you look so fine. Loving the cold, smoking rose, see your fingers shake. And getting through your heartbreak. Some kind of free, same for me, don't know what I need.
My bed.
British jazz and blues singer Colette Cooper is live with us in the studio right now on Fubar Radio with me, Harriet Rose. We're going to be chatting about her brand new single, Perfect Girl.
Thank you, Harriet. Where's my cup of tea, by the way?
Yeah, I know.
Think
she
I
can't
actually
survive
ordered
that.
One.
You ordered one?
Pre-ordered it on Twitter.
Do you know who's bringing it? It's Ollie.
Oh, Ollie's easy.
Who is our brand new intern.
Yeah.
And Ollie actually has asked for your number, Colette.
I mean, how old is he? Is he legal?
I mean, I'm not sure.
He's
I
cute.
Think it would be
he's
illegal
cute.
If he was here and not legal.
He's very legal.
Tell him he's very cute, but I can't hand my number out.
Ollie, I'm sorry.
Sorry,
just
darling.
The tea, not
You're
the
cute,
number.
Though.
That's nice, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very cute.
It's a little fitty. He also just got me a breakfast
fit.
Bar that
how old
saved
is he?
My life.
Harriet, darling, how are you?
I'm very good, and I'm very excited by your brand new single, Perfect Girl.
Really?
Comes from City of Sin, your new album, which is coming out very, very soon.
Yeah.
And you're doing a single launch, aren't you, on the 10th of November.
Yes, which you're DJing at.
I am
I'm
DJing at. Look, this
that.
Is all just shameless promotion for me. Yeah, you've got me DJing and Nick Grimshaw and Adele.
Roberts.
Yep, it's very exciting. But tell us first, before we talk about that, because we're going to talk in detail about your suit that you're wearing and all that stuff, but let's talk about the single, because I want to know what or who is this one about? Because all of Colette's, not all of Colette's music, but a lot of Colette's music is laced with a lot of like really good quality sarcasm and fun. And it's also personal experience, I think, right?
Well, I actually wrote all those songs for that album years and years ago.
Yeah.
And I was in a very kind of like dark place. I'd just lost my dad. So it was, I was in a dark place. So I think that's where it all comes from, my experiences back then.
And although
and I tried to make it a bit funny.
And although it was a horrible time for you,
yeah.
it does tend to be the sort of those times are the times when people do tend to be the most creative and in terms of music and stuff, writing, because you just got the whole album out, didn't you, when it was
I wrote it years ago, but I didn't record it up until about a year and a half, 2 years ago, because I didn't have the money. I self-funded it, but I wrote it years ago, and I just toured with, like, just went around all the pubs and bars and little jazz clubs with the band playing it, just testing it out.
And it's worked, because we're loving it.
Really?
It's fun.
Oh, good, Harriet. I like that.
And it's called City of Sin.
Ooh,
because
Ollie's eyeing me up. Hi, Ollie.
Ollie, give him a wink. yeah, well, obviously, it's City of... You stop being so sexual, Colette, basically. She's winking at me across the radio station.
This Ollie's liking it.
A serious interview.
Oh, he's cute.
Gresham Blake.
Yeah.
The suit designer.
Yes.
You're doing a collaboration with them for your single launch, and they've created a suit called the Colette.
I know, the Colette suit. So basically, I designed this suit. Well, I didn't really design it. I designed it. I ripped it off from kind of like Greta Garbo.
Yeah.
It's a kind of an old 1930s Greta Garbo suit. So I just went to them. Well, they came to me, actually, and then they made the suit. Beautiful suit. And then we kind of came up with the idea that, okay, why don't you launch the suit along with your women's wear, and I'll launch my single at that time, because it coordinated with the time, so that was good. And then when you buy the suit, you get a 12-inch vinyl of Perfect Girl.
Which is, I think vinyls, number one, come way back into fashion, but
the
kind of artist that you are suits vinyl to the max, because obviously you've got the Edith Piafs and all that crickly, is that a word? Crackly vibe that you get.
Well, that it might sound crickly vibe, and me singing on it.
That crackly vibe you get when you listen to a vinyl really suits your voice, because it's quite like
you've got
quite like a deep, like...
Deep? Me got a deep voice? No.
No. You're in good company here, babes. None of us are exactly talking like this.
But I sound like a gay man, don't I? No, I do.
Yeah, but you sound like a fabulous...
Gay man.
Whatever you sound like, it's fabulous.
Thank you, darling.
So Perfect Girl comes out on the 10th, the day you're doing the launch, where you're going to be showcasing. You're going to be showcasing, because I know that you've made a video, but it's not released yet.
No, not until the 10th.
I've seen it, not to boast, but I've seen it.
Do you like it?
I love it. I don't know how much we can... How much can we talk about it?
Well, we can, Joe Barraquette directed it,
yep.
Who we know is amazing. And we just did it really simple budget. And it's shot in black and white. It's quite weird. There's a part where I look like Noel Fielding, apparently. But that's because I'm supposed to look deranged in it.
Which, if you've seen Colette's videos in the past, it's kind of a theme. It's kind of a theme. Because your previous video was quite deranged in many ways, wasn't it? But it was a lot of fun. You had a lot of fun filming that, because that was the last time.
Videos where you've got to go, oh, look at me, I'm pretty, because I'm not that kind of, you know, I'm not a model, I'm a, you know, a performer, so I don't feel I have to look.
But you're still looking pretty sexy in this one, I would say.
Do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I don't know.
And you're also doing a gig next Thursday on the 3rd.
Yes,
supporting
on the 3rd.
Earl, aren't you?
Earl, lovely Earl.
Amazing venue, St Pancras Old Church.
You're coming, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm coming. And you can get tickets right now on C Tickets, and they're all over the internet. So if you just search Colette Cooper and Earl, it's going to be a massive gig. Tell us a bit about it. How did it all come about, first of all?
Well, I met the lovely Earl, and I do love her. She's just adorable, and I love her music. I love her style. She's American, and she's got this real energy around her. And I met her a year ago through a mutual friend, and I gave her my album, and she's like, "Oh my, I love this!" And I was like, "Well, I love your stuff too.
I like your American accent.
It was quite good, though. Wasn't it? Good." And then she said, and then it came about where she said, "Oh, you know, I'd really like you to support me in this gig," and I was like, "I'd love to."
Seems acoustically quite a good venue as well, because it's a church, which suits your
I know,
voice.
But I'm starting to think, is it sacrilegious?
No,
I'm
babe. A bit, are you sure? I've done, no. Actually, one of the presenters here, Michael Payne, once did a gig in a church, and he's a rapper.
Yeah.
And he was talking to me about it quite a while ago, and he was like, because he did the gig with Ed Sheeran, he was supporting, he was doing something with Ed Sheeran, I can't remember what, but it was quite a while ago, but he said, he literally said every, because in a lot of his raps are swearing, in every, he did every swear, and he was like, do you know what, you just have to embrace it.
I know,
you're gonna do it.
But I am a bit kind of, I'm going to take my
They're decommissioned, it's different, it's not, they haven't got religious.
Yeah, I'm sure God's not going to
just drink
me,
some
right?
holy water or something before you go
I'm going to take
my
holy water, my rosary beads.
I would burn alive if I had holy water, because I'm the devil, guys. I'm wearing devil ears.
Where'd you get
horns.
Those from? I want a pair.
Tesco's Express, 2 minutes down the road. Because I planned
three
very
quid.
Heavily. £2.
Have you got any witch's hat?
No.
Have you got any hats? No.
No. But they have got a huge skeleton helmet, if you'd like that.
No, I don't.
Bit too much. So the video's going to be coming out. Is that coming out on the same day, the 10th? Or are you going to wait a little bit for that one?
It's coming out on the same day, the 10th.
And City of Sin is going to follow.
Yes.
Which is what we're most excited about, because that's the whole album.
Yeah.
Now, I'm lucky enough to have heard it, but what would you say to people listening who haven't heard it yet? What would you say they can expect from the album?
I would say, that's a difficult one. Well, I wouldn't know how to describe it. I mean, it's definitely...
You're definitely telling a story through it, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely storytelling. It's on a backdrop of blues and jazz. It's, you know, it's got a touch of Kurt Vile on it, I feel. And is this Ollie coming in with my tea? Oh, I'm disappointed.
Abby fancies
you're
you
lovely,
as well.
Abby
fancies you as well.
Oh. And I don't know what to... hopefully, they like it.
But they will love it. They will love it. But the nice thing about your stuff is that I'm always thinking and wondering where it came from and who it's about and what. But that's the nice thing, is you're never going to tell anybody.
No. You always write what you know, I think.
Yeah.
And life experiences. And
just
know.
Like Beyonce with Becky with the good hair. Oh. We all know about Becky with the good hair, don't we?
What's that about?
Jay-Z cheating on her with a woman with good hair.
Oh.
Although I don't actually think it's true. I think it was written by someone else.
Oh, do we know who that is?
Nope. Although there's lots of speculation. It was lots of speculation.
Oh. Speculation. Yeah, that's right.
But back to you, Colette.
Okay. Yeah.
There's no collaborations on this album, are there?
No.
But is it something that you would be up for doing in the future? Because I could see you doing like some cool collaborations. I was just wondering who would be your ideal collaborations?
Ideal collaboration... What now?
You could say dead or alive.
I was going to say, I would love to, I would ideally love to collaborate with someone like Nina Simone.
Yeah.
That to me. And Rosetta Tharpe.
Yeah.
And Muddy Waters. So today, to collaborate with someone today, who would it be? I actually really like somebody called. What's her name? Leona Evans.
Oh, yeah?
She is fabulous.
Is she someone that everyone listening should go and check out, yeah?
I think they should check her out. I think she's great. She does this amazing thing where she basically... she just plays the trumpet with her hands. Like, it's not a trumpet. She's
watching
making
you
a sound. Oh, sorry.
No, I just really enjoyed...
That's not to you, Ollie. Careful. She's making a... Do you know, she's doing her interpretation of a trumpet, and it sounds like a trumpet. She's brilliant. I think she's brilliant.
Watching you trying to do the interpretation of the trumpet, though, was fantastic.
I tried to do it. Hold on, let's see if I can do it.
You do.
Hold on, ready?
I'll try as well. Wow, well, that sounds
like the beginning of Coronation Street.
That's
my
sounds
impression of. It's not very good, is it?
No,
that's why this.
I'll be
girl
honest. I think you should stick to the singing.
Okay.
And let her do the. Perhaps she can
but
come
do
and do
check
hand.
Her out.
She could come and do hand trumpet for you, yeah. Perhaps live.
Honestly, apparently she did this. I think it was Radio 6 in the studio. And when she did it, she did the trumpet, and then everyone was going, but where's the trumpet player?
It's like beatboxing, but with trumpets.
Yeah, but she's brilliant. Check
this
her
sounds
out.
Amazing. I'm going to try and learn how to do this
what
magical...
What about the flute? What else can we
the
do?
The flute?
A friend can do the flute. We're rubbish.
No, that was a trumpet again. You just did a trumpet with a side hand. No, but that was impressive. I'm excited to see this woman.
I think I was trying to do the harmonica. Bloody hell.
Right, so before we finish up, I wanted to play a little game with you.
Oh, go on.
It's called Desert Island Dicks.
Island
Dicks. I love
Dicks.
It when you do this. I've tuned in, Harriet, many a time.
So, Colette Cooper, I'm sending you to a desert island.
Yeah.
On said desert island, there is going to be one song, and that one song is your most hated, or the song that most irritates you in the world right now.
The song that most irritates me, the one song that I actually have to turn off on the radio, is that Uptown Funk. I hate it.
Oh, I can see she hates it from here. I can feel the energy of...
That song actually makes me want to throw up. I hate that song.
Yeah, I think probably Mark Ronson hates that song right now. After the amount that's been played.
I mean, why? He's constantly... I mean, he's in the video, he wrote it, he plays on it, produces it.
Yeah, no, but by this point, we've all heard it quite a few... I mean, don't get me wrong, I play it in my DJ sets, but now I know not to play it for your album, your single
your
launch.
Your set you played for me last time was brilliant.
It was dirty
amazing.
Dancing, wasn't it?
It was brilliant. We did
not
two
the film.
Sets. You did something before.
Which was jazzy.
Yeah, and then you did stuff afterwards, which was
sexual.
Brilliant. Everyone was dancing, it was brilliant.
You were bumping and
she
grinding with all
she was
of
brilliant.
Them.
She's very good, isn't she?
We're here to talk about how good you are, Colette.
Oh, right, go on then.
Perfect Girl is going to be out on the 10th of November.
Yes.
You can go and catch Colette live. She's supporting Earl next week at St Pancras Old Church, 3rd of November. You can get tickets now. See tickets. It's all over. If you just search the venue and search Colette Cooper, you can find the tickets. They're not expensive at all. So go down. New music. Earl, I've heard, is
me
absolutely
incredible. We're cheap broads.
Cheap ladies. Yeah. Go and see some cheap ladies next week. No, but make sure you also go and get the single on the 10th of November. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good luck next week. And I'll see you there.
Thank you for having me.
No, our pleasure. Will you come back when you release the album?
Yeah.
Maybe you can do an acoustic set.
Yeah, that'll be good.
With one of those massive cellos
and
that
then
you
guys
bring.
Do the trumpet, you do the harmonica.
I'm actually, hold on.
Get practicing. Please check her out though, won't you?
Yes. But check out Colette Cooper, more importantly.
Oh, yeah, do check me out as well. Yeah,
that's what we're here to do. So just before you go, have you got anything to say to Ollie? Or
Ollie, darling, I think you are lovely. But are you definitely out of your school uniform? Just checking.
She's not sure. None of us are sure how old Ollie is. But he's gorgeous.
But you are absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I did definitely clock you.
23.
That's legal.
That's well above legal, Colette.
I can't
give
you my number, darling. I'm kind of like, well, I might, you know, no, I'm kind of like.
Okay. We know what you mean, Colette.
Well, okay. He's cute, though, isn't
he? He is gorgeous. Maybe I'll go out with you, Ollie, if you're up for it. He's not interested. Okay. Colette, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. Perfect Girl is out on the 10th of November. We're going to play it right now.
Okay.
Can you introduce it for us?
Yes, this is called Perfect Girl. Perfect, perfect girl, with your hair in curls. Perfect, perfect girl, in your perfect world. Perfect, perfect girl, with your perfect twirl. Perfect, perfect girl, in your perfect world. Perfect world. Your beauty transcends in your world that pretends. Forget you're a sinner, turn down your dimmer. Forget you're a sinner, forget you're a sinner. Perfect, perfect girl with your hair in curls. Perfect, perfect girl in your perfect world. Perfect, perfect girl with your perfect world. Perfect, perfect girl in your perfect world. Perfect world. Your light still shines, your face is a shrine. We all desire what you acquired, but you will expire. You will expire. The bright light shines on your presence. 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 The bright light shines. A fading icon, a fading icon. There's no conceit, yet only deceit. Excelling debauch, they still hold your torch. And though you stand tall, be ready to fall. Be ready to fall. Ready to fall. Perfect, perfect girl with your hair in curls. Perfect, perfect girl in your perfect world. A perfect, perfect girl with your perfect world. A perfect, perfect girl in your perfect world. Perfect world.
FUBAR Radio presents
The Friday Social with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
I had a gig last week where a 50-year-old man wanted to physically fight me because I wouldn't play ABBA Dancing Queen. It's like, is your head so far up your ass that you can't even just play what everybody here wants to hear?
Everybody. Did he conduct a survey?
ABBA Dancing Queen. I was like,
I've never known anyone to get thugged out over ABBA.
Over ABBA!
Apart from my dad.
Apart from your dad. Yeah, I don't know.
My dad's a big ABBA fan. And he looks a massive thug.
And he looks great in heels.
He does. And spangly tracksuit ones.
Every Friday.
The Friday Social with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
From 1 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
It's so addictive, the way that you breathe. I can't resist it. So when you talk, I can't help but listen. I feel every sound. You could say I'm obsessive.
By Taylor. How's it going?
It's going good.
You have just dropped your brand new single, Call Me Danger, which is out now.
Yeah.
We can go and buy it. We can listen to it on Spotify. We can do everything.
Yeah. You can watch the video on YouTube.
Yeah, which I loved, by the way. We'll have a little chat about that in a minute. First off, let's talk about the single itself. It's got a very 90s vibey beat to it, but sort of meets modern beat as well.
Yeah.
It's not sort of completely 90s. As you progress through the tune, it sort of changes a little
bit. Yeah, yeah.
Tell me a bit about... Firstly, I wanted to ask, why should we call you Danger? I need to know this first.
I think I'm a bit of a badass.
I thought this when you arrived, to be honest.
Yeah.
Your nails are sick, your rings are sick,
yeah,
you're a badass.
Yeah, I've got the, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just, I'm really confident with myself. And that's, yeah.
As a musician, that's a good place to be.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Tell me a bit about the creation of the song. So where did it all start? Where did it come from?
Well, we wrote it in a day.
Amazing.
I wrote it with Mr. Ian Watt. And I think in when we wrote the song, I just felt really confident and badass that day, as
yeah.
I do every day, pretty much.
That's a good vibe.
Yeah.
I kind of need to take a little leaf out of your book, I think.
Yeah.
I feel pretty lame most of the time, so perhaps
you can
leave me with some badass.
Cool.
When you go.
Yeah, no, I will.
So the video, you shot in, it's in London, it's you. Is it you and your mates? The
yeah,
girls
my
in the
best
video?
Friends from Birmingham.
Cool. So you're just like chilling in London. Tell us a bit about the video making day, because those are kind of the fun days, especially if you get to bring your friends down.
Yeah.
Because you're from Birmingham,
mm-hmm.
aren't you? Tell me a bit about how the day unfolded. Were they absolutely ecstatic to be getting involved
in
your video?
Oh my God, they were so excited.
Yeah.
I think to even be styled and makeup and hair
yeah.
and stuff, they were just so lit. So we got up, I think, like 9 a.m., made our way to Bethnal Green, got styled. Well, we got to pick out a few outfits from Topshop and stuff, which was really, really cool. Got styled, done our hair and makeup, and then we went on to set, like, an estate, which is pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was, like, on the wall, just swinging my my braids. My friends and family were watching me, and then we went into Soho in a cab, which was, it felt so real because that's what we would do in Birmingham.
Yeah.
So it just felt so natural.
Felt like you were going on a night out, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Did it feel on the day as well, like you were sort of like giddy and stuff, like you are on a night out?
Yeah, yeah. Especially because my friends were there as well, so it just felt...
So it felt really not like a work day then, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
I noticed in it as well, as you mentioned about the clothes, you looked like you had some fair few sick outfits in there.
Yeah.
Quite a few changes. I just wondered if you had yourself a passion for fashion.
Yeah, no.
I love saying that. Passion for fashion. But alongside the music, it looked like a little bit like you were sort of enjoying the clothes and what you... I mean, it wasn't just standard... jeans and a t-shirt. Yeah, yeah. It was like proper nice garms.
Yeah.
Got all my phrases today. Yeah. On point.
Yeah, on a roll today.
So does fashion come into it for you with music?
Yeah, pretty much. It just kind of... It's another way for me how to communicate with people and just express myself, I think.
I really am jealous of you because a lot of the outfits in it... You sort of... Basically, recently, I've been trying to channel Missy Elliott in a lot of what I wear.
I love Missy.
Not today... I'm just wearing an all-black outfit, obviously. But I felt that in your video, you had a few sort of like... The big puffers and stuff are coming back, yeah. Jackets and stuff. And I got that... I got the Missy Elliott sort of 90s vibe from it. Is that a good thing?
No, that is a good thing. Because that's who I was really... That's who I grew up on.
Yeah, same.
The videos, oh my God. I just wanted to be either her or with her.
Yeah, in her crew,
yeah,
basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
And she sort of brought the woman power, didn't she? Because it was all pretty much all of her videos were mugging off men.
Yeah.
And loads of women just dancing and wearing sick outfits.
Yeah, exactly. I loved it.
And she can also pull off a bin bag, so she's winning.
Yeah.
But I got the same vibe off you with this video. Like, it was definitely the attitude that she set, you know, gives out as well. That kind of strong woman attitude was really there. As a woman, do you feel that, like, affects your music? You know, because obviously it's an important time for girls right now in music.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the music industry at the moment, you have to sort of give that good, the good vibes out for the women.
Yeah.
Do you feel that, is that something that is important to you?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's good for women to be just as strong as guys, I think. I think that's when it comes into feminism, to be honest.
Yeah. Are you a bit of a feminist?
Yeah.
That's good to hear. We like feminists on this. Yeah. Well, actually, there's lots of women. I mean, I don't know how much producer Nat's a feminist.
Yeah.
Is she? Oh, no, she's looking at me like she's very much is a feminist.
She's giving you the eye.
She actually gave me the evilest look I've ever seen in my life there. So, obviously, this track's out now. Call Me Dangerous, out now.
Out now.
What's coming up next?
We're going to be putting out a few more singles.
Yeah.
And then hopefully next year, loads of touring, festivals.
This is exciting news.
Yeah, I can't wait. I love the stage.
Yeah, so how do you feel on the stage? Are you comfortable there? Is it a nice place to be?
Yeah, I recently did a show, Sink the Pink.
Oh, I love Sink the Pink.
One of the best days of my life.
So what did you do for Sink the Pink?
I did two songs of my own.
Amazing. Was it at one of the balls that they do?
Under the Sea it was called.
Sick. I was going to go to that and I would have seen it.
You missed out.
Well, Glyn, who runs it, who's amazing, the guy who runs it, he's so incredible, and he does support new music as well. As I've seen Sophie Ellis-Bextor there. You know, that's proper vintage fun vibes. But no, it's really great that you've got the opportunity to go and dance in front of all those amazing drag queens and all the incredible people that go down there. And so hopefully more of the same to come next year when you release. So there's a couple more singles coming this year, though, that we can be excited for.
Hopefully, yeah.
And you're going to do some more fun videos as well.
Oh my God, yeah. Because I'm really good at dancing. Because on the Sink the Pink, I'd done like a full routine. I had two backup dancers with me.
God, you're great, aren't you? I can't dance either. I feel really like nobody now.
Oh no.
No, it's all right. I'm getting your vibes off you. I'm taking them with me.
Yeah.
For later on. But I'm never going to try and be a good dancer. Tell me about like what dancing is for you. Do you have to learn routines or is it a natural vibe?
I really like freestyling, really. But I'm really good at learning routines as well.
Oh my God. Yeah. Can you teach me a routine?
Of course.
I think I would be
awful.
I'll
teach you.
I have once learnt a routine that I've known. I used to go to street dance when I was younger.
Oh, so did I.
And I've got one routine that I learned and it's shit. Oh. I can show it to you if you like later on. So I was going to ask you about potentially about the next singles and music you're creating after Call Me Danger. Mm-hmm. Would you consider collaborating with other artists on your tracks, do you think?
Not just yet. It's not a big deal for me, I don't think. I just kind of want people to know who I am and my sound, yeah, before I jump on any tracks with any.
So if like Beyonce or Jay-Z or someone like that came to you and they were like, Taylor, can I be on your track? You'd be like, no, sorry.
That's a tricky one. Yeah,
time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, I think, yeah, time will tell.
I'm excited to see more tracks as well, because I think the video is, if it's as fun as it was already, you're going to have much more fun ones to come.
Yeah.
And I just get really jealous of seeing musicians do that. So maybe I can come and watch you the next time you film one.
Oh my God, that would be so good.
And steal some of your clothes. Oh, wait, I wasn't meant to say that bit out loud. Sorry about that. So I wanted to know a little bit about how you got into this industry, because you hail from Birmingham. You're living in London now, right? Or are you living...
Might as well say I am. Okay. No, I'm still based in Birmingham, but I'm... Well, I live in Birmingham, but I'm based in London.
Yeah, so you're here a lot, basically.
Yeah, I've got loads of family and friends down here.
Well, where did it all start for you?
It started in year six, when we did, like, this Leave Assembly, and we all had to kind of show off our talents.
Yeah.
And I sang Lean On Me, and just, like, the reaction that I got from the audience, it just gave me a buzz.
That's a pretty scary thing to do as well, yeah. Because you're putting yourself out there in front of your peers.
Oh my God, yeah, it was scary.
But people were nice.
Yeah.
Because obviously your voice is amazing, but no, school people sometimes aren't nice.
No. But and my friends were in the crowd and yeah, I was that kid.
It just went really well and you knew this was the one thing.
Yeah, and then when I just went to high school, kept doing like performances, and then after I left, I did like open mics.
Yeah.
And only based in Birmingham though. And then I kind of branched out to YouTube and did, like, YouTube channels.
Yeah.
And then I kept promoting myself, and somehow my manager, Maya Vandal, she saw it. And then she just taken me under her wing.
That must have been so exciting when you got that sort of call or that email to say.
Oh, yeah, it was. Especially because I'm a huge fan of London. I've always wanted to move from a young age, but the fact that I'm moving because of music is even more better, I think.
Yeah, that's so exciting. And do you have any sort of people that you gathered inspiration from in terms of your music? Obviously, other than, we know Missy Elliott.
Yeah.
But is there other musicians sort of, you know, dead or alive, past mm-hmm. tense, present tense, that you feel have sort of directly influenced the way you sing, how you work, like what the tracks you make and stuff like that?
I'll probably say Michael Jackson, Eminem.
Yes.
Really love Pink.
Oh my God! Do you know what we should be friends? Because
yeah, I know. Where have you been?
Other than the dancing, we've got a lot of things in common.
Yeah,
and the singing.
I feel
well,
it.
Also,
I feel the vibe.
Eminem, such a one. Did you buy the Marshall Mathers LP when it came out?
Yeah, I did.
The first, was that the first? His first, whatever mm-hmm. it's. But I remember buying his first one back in the day.
Yeah.
Those are pretty good inspirations, I think. And also, you're sort of channeling all of them.
Yeah, I'm a big hip hop fan and pop and R&B, so I just kind of wanted to merge, and I really like the Caribbean's, like the dancehall kind of vibe, so I think we've Call Me Dangerous,
which is taking the world by storm right now. The dancehall vibes is very chart, like it's all over the charts, isn't it?
So we've Call Me Dangerous, I just wanted to jam pack it all in, and thankful, I'm so happy it worked.
Well, I think it's important to merge genres now, because genres don't really exist in music anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone's crossing and weaving and merging. Even in one album, you can see sort of four or five different genres in music, which is really exciting. I can't wait to hear your album.
Yes.
Well, before you go, we're going to play the game now.
The game.
Okay. This game is called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
she looks very scared.
Oh, God.
But don't be scared. So, Taylor, I'm sending you to a desert island. And on said desert island, you are going to be stuck with one song that you absolutely fucking hate. And it's going to go round and round and round and round and round. Never stops. Never stops playing.
Yeah.
So what would you say was your desert island dick?
Probably, I don't know if it's a song, but probably I'm a Barbie Girl.
That's a song. Aqua.
Yeah.
It's a tune, but if you were to listen to that on a desert island, I think you would not want to see a Barbie girl ever again in your life. And actually, listening to the lyrics of that song is pretty much like a Robin Thicke song. It's
fairly
misogynistic. I mean, shout outs to Aqua. I used to have Aqua's album. But still, absolutely misogynistic track. Well, that's a very, very good choice for your desert island dick.
Yeah.
So don't worry, I'm not going to send you there. But if I did have to, that would be...
Oh, that would be torture
for me. And that would be the song I'd send you there with, so I'm sorry about that.
Cool.
course. Thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us at FUBAR Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure. Everybody go out and get Call Me Danger. Please, can you introduce your brand new single for me?
What's up? This is Taylor, and you're now listening to my brand new single, Call Me Danger.
Yeah!
Nat is if Herman Munster and Lurch from the Adams Family had fucked each other. That makes a Nat.
What's Adam then? I bet it's someone really attractive, isn't it? Cousin It.
It's someone really attractive, Cousin It. We all heard what you said then. We know what that meant. Nat fancies little short hairy things. So I don't know if anybody in this studio would fulfil that. But that was Nat's way of saying what I'm after. What is really attractive is a little hairy thing.
Every Monday. From 2 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
everyone out in my cup. Cause I just said still owe me bucks. So I got the right to get bucked. But I try not to let it build up. I'm too high, I'm too better, too much. So I let it go, let it go, let it go.
I ran into this girl, she said, why you always blame it? Why you can't just face it? Why you always gotta be so mad? Be mad, be mad, be mad. Why you always talking shit? Always be complaining. Why you always gotta be? Why you always gotta be so mad?
I got a lot to be mad about.
Stand the crowds, but it's hard when you only got fans around and no fam around. And if they all, then their hands is out and they pointing fingers. When I wear this fucking burden on my back like a motherfucking cap and gown, and I walk up in the bank, pants sack it down, and I laugh at frowns. What they mad about? Cause it put this motherfucker with this mass account that didn't wear a cap and gown. Are you mad cause the judge ain't give me more time? And when I tipped the suicide, I didn't die. I remember how mad I was on that day. Man, you gotta let it go before I get up in the way. Let it go, let it go.
I ran into this girl, she said, why you always say? Can't just face it. Why you always gotta be so mad?
I got a lot to be mad about.
Solange's brand new album. I'm joined by Dave, Ed and Franco of Kerosene in the studio right now. Boys, how are you feeling?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Good.
All good vibes in the studio today.
Tremendous vibes.
We're excited to have you here. We were just discussing off air.
Okay.
About Kerosene having a C in it.
Yeah. So what did you want to know?
Well, I guess, where did the C come from for you guys? Is it like scene, like music scene?
Ooh, you're picking up on something there. Yeah, I think we kind of, so Kerosene came from, there's a track by this band that we really like called Big Black, and they have a song called Kerosene, but spelt the traditional way. And then we found that there was too many sort of Kerosene-related things, so we decided to whack the C in it because we thought we'd be very clever and kind of put, like, sort of turn the word into a portmanteau, so, like, in the sense that, like, you take two words and combine them, and so... We have Kerosene as in like the flammable liquid, but yes, that pertains to kind of like scenes and how they don't exist and they all burn. We were trying to be very clever.
It's very clever though. That's why I had to ask, because I knew it was going to be some ridiculously clever thing.
But when I explain it, I just die inside.
Yeah, but I actually was like so involved in that I forgot that I was going to have to speak after you finished. I was like, oh my God, I just love listening to you talk.
Thank you.
I think it's because I like your accent, you know.
Ah, what would you say it is?
I'm going to say Canadian because you're asking me.
Ooh, okay. I've gotten that before, but no.
No, okay. Just because usually I would say American usually.
Yeah.
But because you asked, I thought it would be Canadian.
Okay, fine.
It's like when someone who's from New Zealand says, where am I from? And you're like, obviously not Australia because you're going to be angry if I say Australia. So where are you from?
American, but sometimes I get Irish or Australian as well.
You sound a little bit Australian. Not Irish in any way, though, I would say.
There you go. But yeah, no, it's half American, half English. So that's what you get.
I know it's nearly Halloween and I'm wearing devil horns, but have you seen a film called Hocus Pocus?
Yes.
You look like the guy... In Hocus Pocus, who, not, this doesn't reflect on your character, okay, the bully in Hocus Pocus who gets hanged upside down from his trainers, but not the bigger one, the skinny one with,
sure,
the long hair.
Sure, I'll take that as a compliment.
It's a huge compliment. He's absolutely gorge. Right. I mean, he's an asshole in the film, but a very gorgeous boy. Okay. Anyway, diverting from why you guys have come to join me, I Can't Do a Thing is your brand new single, which is out now.
Correct.
Came out on the 21st.
Yep.
Very exciting. First off, let's talk a bit about it. What's it about? Where did it come from? How did you guys come up with this track?
So I Can't Do a Thing was a track that we recorded in a studio that we'd set up in Willesden like about a year ago. And it's kind of, it was one of the first tracks that we felt sort of had a sonic identity in terms of where we wanted to take things as a band. So it's kind of got a little bit of psychedelia and electronica and kind of, you know, some just general weirdness happening. In terms of what it's about, it's really about, it's just about kind of emotions and how, like, you can't really control them, and so just be cool with it. So that sort of fed into the song.
And you sort of, you're giving off a, like, properly multi-vibe with the band, because you're giving me 90s, you're giving me now, you're giving, because, you know, that's why you remind me kind of that guy from Hocus Pocus because it's that vibe of time when things were getting a bit psychedelic, uh-huh, and then they went boring and then they went back, which right, is now. Is that the vision you guys had for the band when you, because you guys only got together in 2014, right?
Yeah.
So it's been 2 years of sort of forming your path. I sound, yeah, like Gandalf. But is that what you envisaged when you started?
Yeah, I think the experimentation component is something that we were always adamant that we would do. I think as we make more and more music, we always strive to, like, hone in on it. So yeah, I we don't want to be one of those bands where, like, you know, every track is like a mixed bag. So I think, yeah, so like, it is something that we're conscious that we do, but As we progress, we definitely kind of want to move more into sort of a rock band format.
Yeah.
But I remember I heard you, as we were waiting outside, we heard that, you know, you were saying, or someone was saying, you know, that, like, genres are meaningless.
Yeah, I have said that a few times.
Genres are totally meaningless.
That was with our interview with Taylor, because she was merging, like, Missy Elliott with, like, pop, with, like, seven. And I think I totally agree with you. It's, people are crossing genres so extensively, yeah, with one song that you can't say things are rock or pop or hip hop or grime, or, you know, it's all sort of changeable. And also, I don't think that artists feel that they need to stick to a genre anymore, which is, like, pretty much what you guys are doing, right?
Yeah, very much so. But I think there's two components to it. So on the one hand, yeah, I think people are, because of the internet, are free to sort of pick and choose what they get influenced by and what they want to bring into the music. Mm-hmm. But I think at the same time, like, music has tribalism.
Yeah.
And I actually subscribe to that tribalism. I think tribalism is healthy. Like, everyone has their own little group. And so I think if we had to identify with someone, we'd say, like, yeah, we're a rock band. But then again, what does a rock band in 2016 mean? In the sense that you can also be influenced by hip-hop, but yet sort of have a rock band identity. That might sound like a bit of a contradiction, but that's kind of, yeah.
You're taking me back to the 90s again with that Tribes program that was on Channel 5.
Oh,
Stop it. You're just, like, making... Oh, my God, you need to watch it. It was amazing. It's okay. Called The Tribe, I think.
Was it about what I was talking about?
Yes, exactly. Okay. No, slightly different, but I get what you're meaning. No, I completely agree with you, and I think it's really exciting to have a band like that in our midst. Before you go, so you guys are going to be playing at the Old Blue Last on November the 2nd, which is really exciting. You guys buzzed for that.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
super
really
buzzed.
Looking
forward to it. We really, really... I hope we can come down to see you guys, because it would be wicked to see you live.
Yeah. Are you going to bring those horns?
I can... Yes.
November 2nd, still working.
I'm going to wear these horns until, like, December the 21st. Before we go, I play a little game on the show.
Okay.
It's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
Now,
I thought that was a typo.
No, it's very much dick. And people are always a bit shocked about how much I say dick on this show.
Okay.
In this game, I'm sending kerosene to a desert island, and on said desert island, you're being stuck with a song that is the worst song you could imagine possible being stuck on a desert island with. So you're going to have to sort of merge your minds together to create kerosene's desert island dick for me.
So easy.
Go for it.
It's got to be the Monster Mash by Bobby Pickett.
Oh, but also very apt for today.
It's like I thought about it or something.
Oh my god, I am incredibly impressed by that.
There you go. But even if it wasn't Halloween, I would still pick that song.
Yeah, okay. So that is literally 365 days a year your
Monster
least
Mash.
Favorite song.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming to join us. We're really excited about what's coming next. Perhaps you guys could come in and do a little acoustic session for us sometime soon.
We would love that.
Amazing. Well, can you please introduce your brand new single for us, which is out now. You can go and buy it and stream it on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere. So go and do that right now.
So yeah, this is I Can't Do a Thing by Kerosene, and it's what a psychedelic kind of electronic rock band sounds like.
Woo! By Mike Righteous right now. We're going to be chatting about his brand new album Dreamland, which is out tomorrow. How are you feeling?
Technically it's out tonight.
tonight. Well, midnight.
Right. Midnight.
That's not tonight. That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow, but in
that's because you're excited, aren't you? You're excited, yeah. And you're trying to count down. That's a little bit like Christmas Eve, isn't it? You're waking up.
It's like
you that kid that wakes up at 12:01 a.m. and it's like it's Christmas Day.
This could take a really dark turn if I give you an honest answer.
Okay.
But I'm like that kid that's like the day before his holiday, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, sick, I'm going on holiday.
But that's the best way to be.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
On that note, how excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10 for Dreamland to be dropped finally?
I think the only way to describe it is...
That is the best description, actually. I'd rather we didn't do any words in this interview. We just did sort of feelings.
Well,
and
words
movements.
Are just symbols for feelings, and sometimes words can't explain feelings, and that feeling I can't explain in words.
The lyrical prowess of this man, just spitting it as we speak. Also, I must say, like, as we've like just been setting up for this interview, you've been spitting bars. I kept accidentally interrupting, sounded like I was trying to get involved. Not good enough to get involved. You're a very, very talented man, and I've been listening to all the tracks on Dreamland and loving it. I have to say, though, Be There really struck a chord with me. I absolutely love Vivienne Westwood anyway, but she features on the track.
Amazing.
Huge. Also, of course, you've got featured vocals on there as well. But Vivienne Westwood, how did that come about?
Organically, I'd like to say, for one, like, I didn't have like a label sort of chasing down Vivienne Westwood, like, get Vivienne.
Did you have Tone singing on it before you...
It was Tone's track originally. He made that in his shed in 2004. He made that in his mum's shed when he was making beats. We've lost all the stems to it. When we done it, we just recorded it to an MP3 and he already had the vocal recorded.
Amazing.
So we were just like, such a banger, I'm recording it. We recorded it quite a while ago.
Yeah.
The Vivienne thing came about when she... announced herself as a rapper, and I was like, wow, do you want to feature on my album? She was like, cool. And I was like, how about we do it? And then she was in the studio doing it, and I was like,
so you actually got into the studio with her?
I'd met her a couple times. Sick. Man, she'd invited me to a group that she's got, which is called Intellectuals Unite, and it's just a group of well, like I say, people that want to see a change and make a change and collectively coming together to do that. So,
because she's sort of talking a lot about the climate revolution and things like that and all the
climate
changes.
Unemployment, general injustice, and someone needs to. People need to. People with power and influence need to, an infrastructure.
And you're one of those people, and you touch on a lot of political subjects in the album. Talk me through how those subjects were, because obviously you were working on this one since 2005, right? Or at least it's based around your life from 2005.
Yes, I'm glad you...
And tell me a bit about the sort of key things in terms of politics and in terms of big events in your life that sort of infiltrated and affected the album and how it is now.
Yeah, well, I mean, leading up to this, in my freestyles, I mean, it's perceived as political, but what I try to do is connect through to the personal rather than the political, and the personal is... the feeling of the effects that's caused by a corrupt politician or a corrupt policeman. And them feelings are feelings of sadness and anger and pain. So that's why it comes out how it does. But in my album, as I say, like you said, and I'm glad you recognise, because that is the whole point of this album, and I'm glad, like, for me, that's confirmation. I've done a good job. But... it is a story, and it is personal, and it is documentation of my life from 2005. Like, I tell the story of my first sort of glimpse of a studio, the first few tracks I recorded, how I met my mentor, how I earned money, how I got thrown off course, how I got thrown back on course, how I lost my mind, how I found myself, and eventually realised, what's fame? What's money? What's real? What's not? I'm real. Are you?
That's so... I didn't even know what to say after that. That was so sick. You even speak like... not obviously not like you rap, but like you speak in such a poetic way. It's like almost... Oh, sorry, I just banged.
That's all right. No.
It's almost hypnotic the way you talk with such passion about the things that you're
well,
you know, making
you
music about.
Well, thank you for your kind words, but I feel like it's inherited in my background where I'm from.
Yeah, so you're born and raised in Margate, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that. How did that affect your music?
It didn't, I mean...
Well, because the album's obviously called Dreamland as well.
The album's called Dreamland, what am I talking about? Yeah, that's such a good question. And to be honest, the way it's affected me as a person, I guess, means it's affected me in my music. Because who I am in my music reflects me as a person. And Margate was everything to me. It built me 100%. My peers, showed me like light in dark times when I had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. I stayed with my brother because I was raised in the gutter.
It's really exciting that this album's finally being unleashed on the world. And I think it's very important that we were talking just a minute ago about Akala and about like people rapping
about how he
about,
likes to filter water.
Yeah, how he likes to filter his water in
his
house.
It's very important we do. Cause...
Yeah, it's very important. We were just discussing that as well. But you were saying about how rappers talk about certain things in certain songs, but actually talking about things that matter is becoming really important. And actually, it's kind of an epidemic. People are talking about things that they want to make changes about now. And like, as a rapper, do you feel like that's in the core of you, or is it just your personal experience that you're putting through and you're just seeing how that comes out, you know? Or is it you are deliberately trying to make...
I mean, what's important to you as a person? I can't tell. What's important to me is... it might be for my own egotistical reason, but leaving behind my legacy. And if my legacy's a bad one, I've done a bad job. Even if I go to bed at night knowing that I've done more bad than good that day, I've done a bad job that day. So if I'm going out and I'm stepping on a stage and I'm stepping in front of 1 million people, 1,000 people, 10 people, or one person, I need to do a good job.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
I can't go out there and tell them a bunch of lies.
But you have done with this as well, and I think your fans are noticing it. Everyone's tweeting, getting excited. And of course, you've got the live album. You're playing it out tonight, right? You're going to have a special...
This is the big, like, these are the things that I want to try and cater to my crowd, crowd of sort of artists. I know there are a lot of people that follow in these footsteps that are listening and watching us, and they've been sort of down-hurdled and doubted by the sort of industry of the criteria of what you need to meet to be able to have a fully functional campaign.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you don't need none of that stuff.
No.
Because they said to me, where do you want to do your listening party? What big building do you want to rent out? And where do you want to put like the speakers and the balloons? And I was like, nowhere. I want to do it everywhere.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, how'd you do that? And I was like, you do it in my bedroom, on my laptop, Facebook Live, with my headphones in, invite the whole world, and then... if you got it, you can listen to it on headphones with me and we'll go through every track and everyone in the world is invited. Anyone can listen. It's a global listening party.
I'll definitely be listening. You
listening
guys
in
listen.
12 o'clock tonight, the global listening party for Mike Righteous's album. But you have to have the album to listen in because I'll be listening through headphones. And if you've got the album, you'll be listening to it out loud. But I will be speaking through the tracks, telling you when to pause it, going to other tracks, telling you what my favourite bars are about it, telling you the most personal parts of it. Because there are sort of like, in my lyrics, they can sort of be hidden sort of truths. I will explain them hidden truths to you, pause the music and go through them with you. And if you ain't got the music, you've lost out.
That's next level, because I don't think I've ever heard of anyone doing...
I don't think anyone ever has, and it's such a simple idea. And it's so effective. Like, if you're an artist, you could do that in your own small little community on a smaller scale.
Well, it's what people do.
It's what
you've
got
to
do
to
get
through.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think there's a lost art somewhere that's been sort of shrouded by like corporate finance,
fame,
money,
fame,
jewelry. We've lost sight of legacy. Take the rings off.
I literally can't get them off.
Otherwise, I
would.
To be fair,
they are stuck right on there.
Yeah.
But on that note, we were just talking about... So you were talking about young musicians and people in the game. What advice would you give to people following your footsteps? What kind of thing would you wish
I'd
you
say,
were told when you were younger and you were starting out?
I got told everything I needed to get told, and that was the beauty.
Yeah.
I'd say put yourself in a position where you're getting told what you need to be told. And what I mean by what you need to be told is the truth. What you don't need to be told is everything just to get you to believe in a false truth. I was told the harsh truth, and it didn't always feel great. Mm. But it got me to a point where I'm able to be myself. So keep a good, close circle of friends around you. Probably the ones you grew up with from day one. They say don't mix business, blood and water, or some sort of phrase. But... that fuck that. Forgot we can swear.
Fuck.
Shh. That.
No, yeah, that makes that's so great as well, because I feel the same about life as well. If you're told, you know, you're given all the nice things, then you're never going to make it, because you're just going to think, oh, everything's fine all the time.
Yeah, well, it's like that, isn't it? Like, sometimes I've been guilty of telling people something because I know they just want to hear it, and that does no good for someone. You know what
no.
I mean?
It doesn't help, does it? Especially in the music industry as well right now.
Yeah. But one thing I've always been told, and it's another clear thing, key thing we need to get off of any other budding like musicians or anyone doing anything, is that factor of don't give up, mate, please, because what's going to happen is so you're not ever going to realise. If you don't, how do you not know what you never know?
Yeah.
So just keep grafting, keep grinding. Why does anything else have to matter? I'm telling you, struggle. You might not have no money for 2 years. You might not get no radio play for 5 years during that. And you might just be like, oh, why am I doing this? You're doing it because it's your purpose, mate.
Mike Reich is telling you right now on FUBAR Radio, listen up if you're an up-and-coming musician or an up-and-coming anything.
Anything you want to be. Even if you could do the best in anything, but just be the best at you.
Well, I'm telling you now, I couldn't do what you do.
I would
be awful. We've already tested out a minute ago when you were doing spitting some bars and I was
all right, let's be honest. You can't all do everything.
No, but that's okay. It's mostly just me. So I saw your live tracks on SBTV and also I was been catching all your videos. SBTV, Charlie Sloth did release one for you, Link Up TV. I wanted to ask you, I think it's an important question to ask artists like you. How important do you think it is for the support of these music channels for artists like you and up and coming artists and big artists like you or up and coming, doesn't matter. Do you think it's important for these people to sort of be supporting you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Amazing question. I'm glad you asked it. And I think it is 100%. It's a priority. It should be a priority for them as UK broadcasters, big platforms, you know, mm-hmm. that are sort of, in my opinion, gatekeepers. And, you know, massive props because you built this empire, but don't forget why you built it, you know. And it also works 50-50. There's people that were born on these channels. I was. Mm. That's why I've sort of stayed true. We've had moments where we've had like a bit of a, oh, what's going on here? What's going on? It's never lost any love. And it's important to sort of build these relationships, maintain these relationships and find these opportunities where you can get in with these correct people and sort of build relationships with them. But it should also be a thing of like from their side of open-mindedness, like mm-hmm. an openness of like, it doesn't matter. Like if you're a sick, talented artist and you're from Whitstable, like you should have the same Whitstable. Opportunity as a sick talented artist that's from like west, east, south London.
So Birmingham. Funny you say that. A lot of people I've been interviewing recently have noted that,
yeah,
about artists not being recognized because they're maybe not from London or
I'm not from London, I'm from Margate. Yeah. I feel like I'm the first of my kind and I literally had to use that to my advantage. Mm-hmm. Like
You wrote a story yeah. about Margate and you're teaching people about Margate, a place yeah. that maybe people haven't even heard of or haven't been to. I mean, I've been to it a few times, but maybe people haven't been down there, maybe haven't yeah. checked it out.
Yeah, but that's a great question and it is important. I do think like all these channels, they do such a good job, mm-hmm. but expansion, show the world, now you've got all these eyes on you, show the world what is out there, because I'm telling you, you got to put yourself in the position of a person that is in Whitstable and has been writing for 5 years and is hungry and no one's ever heard his music. Imagine the sort of stuff they're creating.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Honestly, you couldn't comprehend it.
I've got a really difficult question for you now. Dreamland, out tomorrow. What is your favourite track on the album? Yeah, told you it was difficult. At least I precursed it.
When I listen to the album, I look at it as like a one long track.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't think of it as one thing, but I always say the most recent track I made. Because every track I try and make, I try and outdo the last.
And they've been made over a few years, right? The tracks.
There's some tracks that have been held back from 2003.
Does it feel good to finally be getting those ones out as well as the ones you've just dropped?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, amazing.
Like,
and I'm glad I held them back for so long.
Mm-hmm. Because you've got to wait for the right time, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I just also knew that these were like, these are moments that you can never get back. And if I was just to put them out at the point I was at then, there would be no audience to sort of listen to it. And I knew there were certain songs that were special. I was putting music out then, but there were ones that I'd written that I knew yeah. just couldn't go out
you
now.
You got to hold that back.
Yeah, and we'd always had the concept of Dreamland. So it was like, without even knowing, subconsciously, we'd built an album over this period of time and created a concept mm-hmm. without knowing.
Yeah. Which is perfect.
It does work quite well, yeah.
Perfectly, you know.
Yeah, because when you got the pressure on you of having to create an album, you got to think, all right, what's the idea? What's the concept? Am I just going to make a bunch of tracks? It could be mad for an artist, really, because you think these are the things that are difficult to take in, because you know this is a job, but it's a fun job. I'm not on a building site digging every day. I don't want to do that no more. But these are the parts of it, the pressure of like, hang on a minute, I've got to write an album, the world's going to receive it, how are they going to see it? They've got pressure, they've got a date, they've got a time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, am I just making music willy-nilly for no reason? And I do think that's something that eats away at artists, because really and truly, I feel like there's a burning desire in all of us to have to do something more, because I don't know, there's a feeling of disconnect in everyone I meet.
Yeah.
No matter how they try and disguise it, but...
And in a way, you're sort of reconnecting it by this album, is reconnecting it, you know?
Yeah, I'm sort of trying to relight the flame, ignite the fire.
And for fans who are listening and watching, what would you tell them they can expect from Dreamland?
Honesty, and 100% honesty, and the reality of my situation, and hopefully a little bit of their story in my story.
Yeah.
Because every struggle is different, but the feeling in it is all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Pain is pain. Fear is fear. Love is love. Every part of that story, every emotion in it, you'll be able to relate to as I tell it. When you listen to it, approach it with an open mind and think, hey, when I'm tap dancing and I couldn't get in the studio and I had to climb through the window that night and fall onto the bloody hard floor and I hit my head on the crossbar that they have... And I had to get up and then do a little tap dance till 8 a.m. and the owners come and found me and kick me out. It's like, that's just like that story of 2005 when I broke into the studio.
Yeah.
Think like that.
If you are that tap dancer, do tweet us in at Fubar Radio. We want to hear your story. Before we go, we play a little game on my show.
Yeah.
On Fubar Radio. So Mike Righteous, I'd like to ask you a little question, and the game is called Desert Island Dicks.
Okay,
and in this
game, I forgot this was Foo Bar Radio.
Yep. We can say things like dick on the radio. So in Desert Island Dicks, I take you to an island and I leave you there.
Okay.
And I leave you there with one song, and that one song has got to be the shittest song you could imagine being left there with. Or it can be a song that you maybe like, but you know if you were stuck on that desert island with it, you couldn't bear it. So, Mike Righteous, what is your desert island dick? It's a toughie.
I couldn't think of anything more worse than being stranded on a like desert island somewhere, desolate, with no one, just me and my thoughts, and just constantly hearing the drumming ring of like something like the Cheeky Girls or...
I think that's a very good choice. Do you mean we are the cheeky girls? You are the cheeky girls.
How do you know that song?
You are the cheeky boys. I'm of an age where I know that song.
God. Right, put yourself in this situation.
I'm there with you, babe. Yeah. I mean, I'm not because I'm leaving you on your own, but I'm mentally there with you.
Yeah, that is like torture methods, and I would not ever want to experience that.
So Mike Righteous is
You replaced my sort of fear of being buried alive with a fear of being desolate on a fucking...
With cheeky girls.
On an island with a cheeky girl.
You know what?
Repeatedly.
I might be even nicer to you and send you to that desert island with the actual cheeky girls. How about that?
Well, actually, that could be...
Okay,
that
no,
could
hold
work
on.
Out
hold
for the
on,
better, if I'm
hold
honest.
On. All they can do is sing at you.
Okay, well, is there an ocean?
Yes.
I'll drown.
Okay. Cheeky Girls, the cheeky song, Mike Righteous's Desert Island Dick. Thank you so much for joining us on Fubar Radio.
Thank you so much.
We're absolute so excited pleasure. For Dreamland out tomorrow, and the live stream goes 12 a.m. tonight.
Yes,
so
let's
make
not
sure
forget, that's the biggest
in.
Part.
Yes.
Global listening party, 12 o'clock, tonight, Thursday, Dreamland's going to be available. Listen in with me. I'll have my headphones on. I'll talk you through the tracks, and I'm going to leave you here. Fubar, absolutely love Harriet. Lovely.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
Woo.
Me.
Bye, everybody.
Enjoy. Rituals unite. Everybody's talking, but only our map gives the complete picture. The ice is melting, fracking releases tons of methane. Water is more precious than oil. Plastic kills the albatross. There's no end to migrants. Perpetual war, floods and
we'll be right back.
turn to usage and soothe the feeling, or turn to looting and lose your freedom. In every interview they ask me who I believe in. I can't keep explaining, it's losing meaning. To tell the truth, if it is the truth you're seeking. I never knew my bruise like a fruit, the seed just confused on my back looking through the ceiling. Never really prayed and it ain't a secret. When I do I have no clue as to who may receive it. Probably think I would just look into my facial features, but
I look up to the sky.
Over to his socials tonight for the Global Listening Party, 11:45 p.m. He's going to be talking through the album step by step, track by track. So go and check him out, Mike Righteous, banger. This is out tomorrow. It is incredible, dreamland, so make sure you get it. Also, Nikki Tibbles was on the show last week of the Wild at Heart Foundation. You can catch them at WAR_Foundation_. Pause for Thought campaign. We are going to be giving away a £200 voucher for Wild at Heart, the florist, which is featured in Liberties and it's online. It is the most beautiful flowers in the world. I got sent some last week from Nikki herself. So incredible. All you have to do is donate £10 to this incredible charity, which is looking to end dogs being, but basically they go and help dogs in different countries who are basically thrown out by their owners or badly treated. They give them medical care and also they're raising awareness of homeless dogs at, all over the world. Incredible work they're doing. So go and check them out at Wild at Heart Foundation. Please donate www.wildatheartfoundation.org/donate. Quote FUBAR Radio and donate £10 to be in with the chance of winning a £200 voucher. And thank you so much again to Nikki for coming in because it was such a pleasure. Last request before we go. It's a huge, huge track tonight. Halloween special on FUBAR Radio with me, Harriet Rose. I'm going to quickly read out because we've got about 2 seconds before we've got to play the song. Mm. We've got MJ Thriller from Stephen, which I respect very much. And I would good have choice. Played this had there not been the suggestion that we are actually playing. Monster by The Automatic. Alternative. Interesting. But thank
big
you, Ben.
Tune. Big tune.
And Monster Mash from Luke. But I'm afraid the winner tonight is Lauren, who is giving us a Fresh Prince featuring Jazzy Jeff. Whopper. This is A Nightmare on My Street. Happy Halloween. Catch you next Thursday, 4 till 6pm. Thanks to all the guests. Love you. Bye. We'll be right back.
to tell about this guy. You all know me, has me scared as hell. He comes to me at night after I crawl into bed. He's burnt up like a weenie and his name is Fred. He wears the same hat and sweater every single day. And even if it's hot outside, he wears it anyway. He's gone when I'm awake, but he shows up when I'm asleep. I can't believe that there's a nightmare on my street. If I remember it right, and we had just gotten back off tour last night. So the gang and I thought that it would be groovy if we summon up the posse and dumb rush the movies. I got Angie, Jeff got Tina, Ready Rock got some girl I've never seen in my life. That was alright though, cause the lady was chill. Then we dipped to the theater, set to Ill. We saw Elm Street and man, it was death. And everything seemed alright when we left. But when I got home and laid down to sleep, that began the nightmare, but on my street. It was burning in my room like an oven. My bed soaked with sweat and man, I was bugging. I checked the clock, it had stopped at 12:30. It had melted, it was so darn hot and I was thirsty. I went downstairs to grab some juice or a coke. Flipped the TV off and then I almost choked when I heard this awful voice coming from behind. It said,
"You are not living at all and now you must die."
Man, I ain't even wait to see who it was. Broke outside in my drawers and screamed so long cuz. Got halfway up the block, I calmed down and stopped screaming. Then thought, oh, I get it, I must be dreaming. I strolled back home with a grin on my grill. I figured since this is a dream, I might as well get ill. I walked in the house, the big bad Fresh Prince. But Freddy killed all that noise real quick. He grabbed me by my neck and said,
"Here's what we'll do. We got a lot of work here, me and you. The souls of your friends, you and I will claim.
I said, "Yo, Fred, I think you got me all wrong. I ain't partners with nobody with nails that long. Look, I'll be honest, man, this team won't work. The girls won't be on you, Fred, your face is all burned." I pat him on the shoulder, said, "Thanks for stopping by." Then I opened up the door and said, "Take care, guy." He got mad, drew back his arm, and slashed my shirt. I laughed at first and thought, "Hold up, that hurt. It wasn't a dream, man, this guy was for real." I said, "Freddy, pal, it's been an awful mistake here." No further words, and then I darted upstairs. Crashed through my door, then jumped on my bed. Pulled the covers up over my head, said, "Oh, please do something with Fred." He jumped on my bed, but threw the covers with his claws, tried to get me. But my alarm went off, and then silence. It was a whole new day, I thought. I wasn't scared of him anyway, until I noticed those rips in my sheets, and that was...